Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Access Astrology. We are three astrologers that bring our love of astrology to you and hope to make it practical, usable, and accessible to you. So, tonight, Ann Ortley is off traveling to South Carolina. Mark Woltz should be on later on. And this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota. On a cold and snowy night, it's been sleeting and icing. And we're going to be talking tonight. I'm going to talk to you about today. The sun has just entered Sagittarius. What is the gift of Sagittarius and how can we use it? And why do we have Thanksgiving at this time? Later on, I'm going to ask you to call in with your questions or your comments about astrology, questions about your chart. And the number to call in later on, get yourself ready for that, is 347-215-8881. That's 347-215-8881. So I've always thought that the holidays that fall under each sign illustrate something powerful and unique about the sign. We can take it at its surface and funny level, or we can look deeper into the process. So Thanksgiving, or many harvest festivals around the globe, follow under the sun in Sagittarius in the Northern Hemisphere. And here in America, we celebrate Thanksgiving, a time that we were grateful in celebrating, you know, what as politically difficult as it can be now when the Native Americans saved the Pilgrims behinds and kept them from starving that first year, and fat lot of good it did them. So there's controversy on what are we celebrating on Thanksgiving if we take it back to that particular incident. But Thanksgiving is a process, a harvest festival that has been through most agricultural communities throughout eternity. And in the fall, when we've finally gotten our food in, when we have enough possibly to last the winter, when we're really ready to take a deep breath, the work of the fall is done, and the sun goes into Sagittarius, and we're out of that dark, brooding Scorpio look at death, and are grateful that we have what we have to make it through. We also know that our immune systems work better when we're grateful and when we're positive and when we're looking on the full side. And we need this burst of light, this more positive approach, this searching for the philosophical answers as we head into the dark of winter. And so on Thanksgiving, we gather and say, what am I grateful for? And how can I be generous? What can I share with the people that I love or strangers? That's on the best of days. Now, Sagittarius is also the sign I always think of when of the story of the emperor that has no clothes. Now, the emperor that had no clothes was given a suit. He was bamboozled into thinking that he was wearing beautiful, glorious suits. And no one was willing to tell him that he was actually naked, and this magical suit really didn't exist, and he had been bamboozled. And it went through many stories, many versions of that, until one young boy said, but you have no clothes. You are naked. He was the only one who could speak up and tell the truth. And at the dinner table on Thanksgiving, this can be a difficult habit, when the grandmother speaks up and says, you've gained weight. Or the young child comes up and asks the question that no one else in the room is really ready to answer, really ready to ask. So what do we do with this time, and how do we use this truth-seeking quality in the best of all possible ways? I think in the news we are seeing, I saw two stories today, two exposés on lies that they caught George Bush in his book, and documented lies where they show what he said, and then there's a videotape of him saying something different at a different time. This kind of calling people on their truths is part of the strong medicine of Sagittarius. And if we can do it without edge, and we can just state, this is the truth, this is my truth, this is what's really happening for me, if we can take out the Scorpio sting, we can say more and we can be heard more during this time. I'm also seeing, so there's a series of political stories around truth-telling and truth-seeking. Hello? And the truth-telling in the process. Hello? Hello. The phone line is being difficult tonight, but here I am. And I would like you to call in with any questions that you have for me about your chart or about astrology. Call 347-215-8881. That's 347-215-8881. So we're back to talking about the chart. And hold on, I have a caller here. Hello? If you just tried to call in, please give me a call back. Thank you very much. Hello, we've had a little difficulty with phone lines tonight, and I apologize for that. If you're out there, we are ready to take callers now. Please feel free to call in 347-215-8881. Thank you. So back to today's chart, because we're talking about how to get more comfortable with the aspects for this coming holiday. If you have relatives or you're staying home or you are just ducking out from everybody and your truth is that you need time alone, there's some very interesting aspects that are making life interesting at the moment. We have Mercury and Mars very close to conjunct. Mercury has just moved past Mars. They're still 2 degrees apart. But they are coming both one after the other into an exact square with Jupiter and Uranus. So we've got Mercury and Mars speaking up, speaking intensely, speaking off the top of our heads. As Mercury moves past Mars, we're feeling a little calming down of last week's tension. I heard from so many clients, they wanted to run away from join the circus. They wanted to leave their mate. They are ready to jettison their relationship, their work. For an entire walk around, take a temporary geographic cure, walk around the block, come back, and let the wave pass and see if they felt like that after that aspect shifted gears. So we have Mercury and Mars and that, you know, radical need to tell the truth, and it can be also the radical need to laugh, to cut through the crap, to be direct. At the same time, it is they are forming a square to the Jupiter, which is freeing up thought, freeing up feelings, freeing up inhibitions, and Uranus. So there can be some wonderful times, great conversations within this. But you know, if a conversation starts to tank, it will turn rather intense quickly. And so we ask people to be a little careful, to give yourselves a few minutes before you spat off, and to put a timer on it. I also think that the aspects, as both Mercury and Mars tighten into a square with Uranus towards the end of the week, that driving will get even more difficult than it is now. Now, here in Minnesota, we've been under an ice storm, and I have seen one accident after the other as Mercury squares Uranus.
So I'm asking people to be really careful. But even in the best of conditions and the best of weather, our technology can misbehave, like my phone is tonight. Our thinking process can sort of skip around, so we misspell in ways they might not normally misspell. We can shoot emails off. It can feel almost like the mischievous aspect of Mercury retrograde, the poltergeist in the system. And also that people, that when we are in a rush, we tend to be less careful and have more incidents. So notice that it's when a traffic and just the oncoming car. Just the more impulsive the move, the more carefully we have to watch it. This also goes for cutting food over holidays. So be careful preparing food, that you are doing it in a way that keeps your fingers on the right side. In a more metaphysical process, the truth-telling can take us down to a deeper place. It's interesting that the sign of the truth-teller, Sagittarius, where right now the Sun, Mars, and Mercury are all conjunct, and the asteroid Pallas Athena. The Pallas Athena is an asteroid we think of as the guarded intellect. The Athena was the goddess that rose fully formed out of her father's forehead, completely armed at birth. And she was a goddess that had a little trouble connecting to the other goddesses, to her feminine energy. She was, in her own way, her warrior for truth, warrior for wisdom as she saw it, but could get stuck into her own mindset. And we have a caller on the line. Let me take that. Hold on. Hello?
Yes,
hello.
Hi.
On the air.
Hi.
How can we help you tonight?
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could possibly take my birth date and let me know what you see ahead for the next few months in terms of romance.
Okay, Cindy. Can you give me your birth data?
Sure. It's 2/23/54, 6:22 p.m. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
6:22 p.m. in my hometown in It's been a while. And okay. And you're asking about relationships.
Yes, I've been through an awful lot of loss in the last 2 years. I think I had Uranus conjunct in my seventh house and lost a whole lifestyle, a marriage, a home, and everything I had for the last 20 years. So it's a lot of rebuilding.
And you're still, a lot of rebuilding. And your moon is in Scorpio. You're those following along, a Sun, Venus, Neptune conjunction in Pisces, Moon in Scorpio with a Virgo rising. Mm-hmm. So that Moon in Scorpio does not trust easily. And I have a feeling that the end of your marriage was not your idea. Is that correct?
It was not. Not at all. No, I didn't see it coming. I didn't even know that it was coming. Yeah.
And that, that can happen. It's not always, our relationship needs to change while Uranus is going through our seventh house. The relationship will not be the way it was before. But that could be that the relationship itself comes back alive. It could be that the relationship itself, the two people move around the world together, or they make a change together, or one partner changes in a rather drastic way and the relationship needs to handle that, or the partnership breaks apart. But it cannot stay the same. So you know that cosmic clutch energy has been in your seventh house of partnership for a while now.
Yes.
And how long ago did it move? Did your divorce begin, or did the separation begin?
20 months ago.
20 months ago, and that so that Jupiter, the Jupiter Uranus conjunction happening in your seventh house, it looks like your partner saying, "I need to be free," and in a way that felt totally a shock to your system.
It was
so
a very big shock,
You really need to rebuild trust in yourself, not in anybody else, because that's what's going to take time. You'll have to see whether or not they who they actually are. But to begin to trust your own sight again, because until you trust your own sight, it's a little hard for you to let anybody in. So
okay.
you may be doing some work going back over and seeing what signals did I miss?
Right.
And what do I need to promise myself that I won't put up with again?
Right. I was dating somebody just recently and mm-hmm. actually couldn't see them anymore because I started listening to the little voice inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that he, you know, he's got some problems that I didn't know about that, you know, and I'm glad that I did. But now at this point, it just feels like, you know, I really feel very lost and I would love my marriage back, but I don't think there's anything left of it. So, you know, I don't see him coming back.
You know
back,
your birth, the birth information of your ex?
Oh, yeah, 5/22/63, 2:59 p.m., I think it was.
63, you said?
Yeah, 63.
And 2:59
p.m.
Okay. Also in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Mhm. Okay. And this person has their ascendant at 29, almost Libra, almost 0 degrees Libra, and sun
okay.
at 0 degrees Gemini with a moon in Taurus. So that
right.
0 degrees Libra rising has been taking the flak back and forth and back and forth. It looks like moon.
I'm sorry.
You naturally, that you felt pretty comfortable at home together.
Oh, we did. We had a beautiful home, and we built a mm-hmm. home together. It took like 2 years to build, and that went to foreclosure when he left for this other woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that one of his issues is, you know, that he has that Jupiter in the seventh house, a real, you know, a craving for freedom and for security. Would have hated it if you left first. But he has the sudden need for freedom, and he was going through a major identity crisis, I suspect, as Pluto squared his ascendant on and off for the 2 years before you separated. So
okay.
he started to go into an identity crisis, and his
yeah.
Mars in Leo tends to clash with the other planets in your chart, where he needs to get out to be seen, to be appreciated, to be focused upon. You need someone that you can work with steadily alongside and learn to trust.
Right.
And you had a much sort of more introspective approach. I mean, you have your Mars in Sagittarius, which gets along in general on a good day with his Mars and Leo, but I think I see that side of him that kind of hungered for attention in a way that you thought you'd gotten past.
Yeah, he likes, you're 100% correct, he likes more of a flashy type woman. I was more of a spiritual, introspective person. And
right.
he wanted somebody on his arm that looked a certain way and was more superficial,
mm-hmm.
whereas I thought I had the real thing with him. I thought I had the real...
Yeah.
Soul connection.
Well,
and
when his
wrong.
Strength is good, I mean, it's a side of him that he was missing. That was sort of, she was the antidote to his life, but not really the food that he needs. The question is, will he wake up and come around again? And that's a good, that is, it feels like he's going to be still chasing his tail.
Yeah, I think so.
Because Uranus is going to sextile his son. And I don't think it's like a whole level of his adolescence that he never lived out the first time.
Okay.
Or maybe he did and is going back to. But he won't feel like an adult for another couple of years.
Okay.
In another couple of years he might come around and say, hey, you know, now I realize what I really need. But I think by that time you really won't trust him at all.
Yeah, I won't. I mean,
so
there's nothing
I would say don't hold anything out for him. And then should he come around and wake up, then you see what he's like as this new person. But you'll have to get to know him all over again. You can't go back to the marriage. You could go forward together if he wakes up.
Yeah,
but
I would be surprised.
To where it was. You know?
I would be surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. I would be surprised, but he's got a lot of growing up that, and a lot of events that's going to happen in his life in the next few years. And that may sort of break him out of some of his illusions. But I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah.
So what with the men that you just separated with, that you were dating for a while, I think I think it's great for you to date. I think it's a little early for you to get serious with anybody because you're keeping checking on what you need, on who you are, how you're doing, what you need, and how to express yourself with others.
Right.
And is he trainable? I mean, no one comes to us healthy and perfect, but are they healthy enough? Are they taking responsibility for themselves?
He's not.
And are they willing to learn from you?
Well, he had a Scorpio moon also. I thought we looked really compatible from the little bit of astrology I know, but he came to me with an offer. He's not a grown up. He's not taking, and he wants somebody to take care of him, and I don't want to do that.
No. If they're not taking responsibility for themselves, it won't really work for you. Because you are so intuitive, you can take care of them, but then you get caught in mommying them, and then they rebel from you.
That's exactly what I started seeing. I started having to tell him certain things. But, I mean, on paper, I thought, on the chart-wise, I thought that, you know, we were fairly compatible. He had a Scorpio, Mercury, and Venus, and I have my Mercury and Venus.
Yeah, you're a wonderful Pisces, Mercury and Venus.
Yeah, and I thought that that was good. And he was 1 degree of Sag, and I thought he was mostly Scorpio, but I don't know.
But the Scorpio, again, you know, Scorpio is the highest and lowest of the zodiac, they say. And, you know, my dad was a Sun, Moon, Mercury, and Venus in Scorpio and a wonderful man, so I will believe in them.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, but then I wasn't married to him. I was just his daughter. But Scorpios that have not taken responsibility for themselves and are blaming others, it's one of the danger signs to look for in a Scorpio moon when they say it's your fault, it's their fault, it was all theirs, and they enjoy putting other people down. And if they start holding other people responsible for their happiness rather than themselves, then I see a danger sign. And that, to me, so that's sort of, you know, the sniff test with the Scorpios. They're so intense and interesting, as you know.
Right.
Now, how do they take responsibility for themselves? And it sounds like you take responsibility for yourself and everybody else around you.
And I do, yeah. And I'm getting very weary of that, very weary. And I'm hoping that
taking responsibility for yourself and just it's a little while here that you start practicing trusting yourself to set your boundaries. You did very fast triage with this last guy.
Mm-hmm.
And continue to, you know, you've got some, your progressed sun is now in Taurus, entered there about 2 years ago. You're ready to really enter into even a better connection than you had last time.
Okay.
Your Uranus is going to be in your seventh house for a while, but Jupiter's going through there now. You're breaking the cycle, and they're coming to conjunct Vesta in your house of partnership. So you're going to be breaking the cycle of sacrificing yourself for others.
Good.
And so that's, you know, you may get, you know, several versions of that where people show up in your life and ask you to give more than you're taking, that you're getting back. And if you might need to do that in a work situation, but not in your relationships, not for any length of time.
Okay.
So you're going to be breaking that habit and learning how to trust yourself to be in a partnership more and be friendlier, be more open to people, be more outgoing. Let that Mars in Sagittarius, while the Sun is in Sagittarius and all these other planets are working on the bottom of your chart, you have an opportunity in the next couple of weeks to let new people into your life, to meet people that may or may not be the next great partnership, but they'll be wonderful people for you to practice on and to trust yourself, to listen to yourself even when other people's needs are there, and to move closer or farther back from people as you need. You don't have to push them out of the way. You can just ignore them that day. You know what
I
mean? That you're trusting your boundaries better. And I think with that, you'll be sending clearer messages to people, because I think right now you're saying, come here, go away.
Yeah,
and,
I have done that, yeah.
And if you're just like, you know, that's interesting. I'm here, like, oh, who are you? Would you like to know who I am? And taking it slowly, but staying very much in your own center.
Okay,
but opening up. It's like centered and opening. And look around in the next few weeks for people to practice upon.
Okay, I can definitely do that. And
wonderful.
I've
got
really
some other callers coming in, so I've gonna take them on.
Thank you for everything. Thank you. Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you. Hello.
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 Hello, Heather. This is Mark.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I had phone trouble, and so you got started, and
yep.
And then I phoned in and got on the queue,
wonderful.
And here I am. So that was interesting. It was
good.
Fun to listen to your talk. I was going to say it sounds like this caller is going to go through a period of kissing princes and watch
yes.
them turn into frogs.
Right, to see if they check on the frog pattern.
Right. And that's not bad. That's not bad.
No,
don't get squeamish, you know.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Go like,
and give them a little, just give them a little pet and let them hop away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't
yeah,
step
that's
on
a
them.
Good way of putting it. So what are you seeing astrologically in the next few, next week?
Well,
over the holidays?
We just had this full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a very pretty one.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Mercury doing some stuff, doing squaring Jupiter and Uranus.
Mm-hmm. How do you see that? We were talking a little bit about that earlier. And
I
see it as for
part.
Some really
yeah.
interesting conversations over Thanksgiving dinner. But
yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and several people have said that it's beginning to feel a little bit like Mercury is retrograde with some of the technological mistakes that they're having. And, you know, phones that misbehave and they're trying to get on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is there anything else that how else do you see that?
Well, I think one of the ways that will show up is expecting a little more of our communications than they actually deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's because also we move into being impatient, like, you know, looking, not really listening in the moment, but jumping ahead and, in a way, hearing more than is actually being said, which sometimes gives us another level of truth and other times mm-hmm. moves us ahead too fast, and then we just miss things,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are not really there. But we may gain some insights ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
As we go, but both of those things can be going on.
Yes.
But there's a, you know, kind of a quality of being a little hard to just stay quietly with each moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, and with each word. We kind of want to rush through and, you know, jump from one word to the next and not really land on any one word. Just keep.
Yes.
Keep hopping ahead. That's what can happen. But it can also, you know, move a conversation along very, very quickly, too. And I think that's the fun quality of what can come up around Thanksgiving Day is we can accomplish more in a conversation than we normally would, too, because we don't have to fill in the details.
That's really
you know?
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess the lesson is, you know, don't insist on details and you won't, you know, pick things up by details. Mm-hmm. But you know, keep I guess listening for a kind of intuitive truth. And so in a way we're riding a little bit above the actual words. Sometimes, you know, we sort of fly along above the words, and that's, I think, what we're going to experience. So that's nice. It's good quality.
That is. That is.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few more callers on the line, which I'm going to let on. Now, I don't know if
good.
I can let them on and you at the same time. So if it bumps you off,
yeah. Okay.
If it bumps you off, call back in. There's a way of
okay.
calling in to the co-host, but we'll have to talk about that. I'm not quite sure how. You can go
right.
on to the switchboard page, and it says log to chat in as co-host. So you might want to try that. Meanwhile, I'm going to try the next caller and
okay.
call back
mm-hmm.
in, and then we can put you on to respond after I do if you can't get on as co-host.
Okay, good.
Hello? Caller?
Hello?
Hi there. How can we help you tonight?
Hi. I have been going through some tough few years,
mm-hmm.
Basically with losing a home, going through a divorce, and facing a lot of financial challenges, and I was just wondering if it's going to get better soon. However,
okay, what's your birth information? When were you born?
March 21st, 1964.
64? Mm-hmm.
Yes, 1964 at 6:47 p.m. in Saigon, Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much turnover at work right now that I'm concerned about my job also.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm also wanting for a change in job or career direction. So I would like
okay.
to know if that's something.
Yeah, that's... well, I can see a lot of change happening in a short period of time in your life, and I can feel for you on that. Mark, are you online also?
I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, wonderful. Yes, you stayed on there. Great.
Oh, good. Okay.
It works. So this, you have, our caller has the sun at 0 degrees of Aries, and a 12-degree Libra rising with moon at 9 degrees of Cancer. So, you know, there's a lot happening in your chart. You have, at the moment, Uranus has already tagged your sun once. Pluto
mm-hmm.
squared your sun. And Saturn just came across your ascendant. So to break that down, you've been going through, you know, it's not done.
Yeah, and one of my closest friends just passed away.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, it's been a lot.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, is it going to end soon? I mean, is
there
more?
Yes and no. I think there's a lot of deep work there's some deep healing going on in you. It's bringing up, I think that when your friend died and when the house was lost, all the losses that your family has been through ever might just kind of be up. It's like pieces of splinters leaving you. And so there's been a lot of grief, I suspect, that is old stuff, well stuff. The good is Saturn has just crossed your ascendant, and it's moving forward into your first house. And people are taking you more seriously and think that you know what you're doing. For the last 2.5 years, Saturn's been in your 12th house, which is a place where we tend to get kind of depressed and where we're reviewing the past and where people, it's hard for people to see our work. And it's a tough time when Saturn, and you know, it's been a very internal time. And when Saturn crosses across the ascendant, it feels like a challenge that you've been going through, like an initiation into a new phase in your life. But people begin to take you more seriously, and the problems are less inside of you and more out where you can deal with them. Mark, what do you say about Saturn crossing across the ascendant?
Well, Well, Saturn at the ascendant, it is that people taking you seriously, and it's also your time to really take on a lot more. And it feels a lot of times very heavy, like you're having to take on more. The whole of life seems more serious. All the serious parts of life come up, and it's, you know, there's a feeling that it's too serious, you know, that there's really life is so much more serious than fun, and you begin to feel that it's not going to be fun again. And it's all about the responsibilities from here on out, and also the losses. And the losses seem to outweigh all the moments of spontaneity and fun and discovery. There's a feeling a lot of times that there's nothing more to discover. It's, you know, everything has been here, done that, and what's the point? It can feel very, very much that way. And the important thing to know is that that's going to pass. It is a period of time that goes on for months, but it does lighten up. And sometimes we have to do that period of time where we look very seriously at everything and have to accept the serious part of things. And once you do that, you begin to realize that being able to do that allows you to be there for others and to just take on that role. And even though it doesn't feel like fun and it isn't fun, it is something that's happening and it's real, but it's only one level of reality. And then what will happen is as you really accept that and take on that role, then somehow, like light creeping through the window shade, things start to brighten up. And you can't make them brighten up, and you can't open the window shade. You just have to see what comes through, and then eventually more and more light comes. And so it becomes a thing of being thankful for whatever little ray of light comes through and beginning to allow a little more light and a little more light. But you can't rush it, can't make it come, and you have to have a little trust that it's there and that you are being asked to dig deep, and you just have to dig deep within yourself.
The good news was Saturn crossing across your ascendant, that the work that you're doing inside of you is being seen and will be supported.
Yes.
The other good news: Saturn crossed across your ascendant. Your progressed moon crossed across your progressed Saturn 10 months ago, and that sort of it was an intense part of the harder time, I suspect. And your it's in Pisces now. Your progressed moon. And in 17 months, it turns into Aries conjuncts your sun, and it's a time when new energy floods back into your life and into your chart. So between now and then, it's a time to be very tender to yourself as you make some gentle changes. You feel a restlessness at work, I suspect, as Uranus is coming to conjunct your progressed sun when it hits Aries, and that's coming up soon. I'll give you some dates on that. But I would say if you were talking about work, now let's break it down to some specifics in your life. It feels like the worst is over, but you still have a lot of changes coming up. I think that will changes that will support you rather than test you as much. What's happening at work that you wanted to talk about?
There's a lot of layoffs. This has been so many rounds, so everybody's concerned about losing their job, being laid off, and a lot of people are wondering, is it better to take action, you know, and go look for a different job before you get laid off? And then I have the same question for myself. Should I just hold out and just wait, or should I take action and start looking for a different job?
Do you like the job that you're in?
There's pros and cons, but there's the company as a whole is having a problem, and I'm not too thrilled about the direction where things seem to be going.
It doesn't seem to be promising
a future.
Right. Uranus conjuncts your sun in for the third time in March, and that it is very likely, and it's in your house, your sixth house of work, so it's very likely that you'll be changing jobs about then.
Plus the,
what I'd like you to
Pluto, look at Pluto and Capricorn too.
Yeah.
South
Pluto
node
and Capricorn.
Opposite moon.
It's sitting right on her south node, coming up to her south node. It's going to be opposing her moon. There's some big changes coming as far as where you live, what you do. I want you to see if you can direct those changes by being proactive. I know you won't feel, you'll feel more like it when your progressed sun, progressed moon gets into Aries in 17 months. But to start, now that Saturn's in your first house, people will notice your work more. I think you're safe for the moment and in the job that you're in now. But to start now, get in your resume looking as beautiful as you can and start asking yourself what you'd really like to do next.
Yeah.
And is there some training that you could take to move into even a different field that would feel more satisfying to you, that you've got, you know, there's some changes coming, let them work for you.
And then I have another quick question for the very slowly moving relationship that I've been having for the past few years. Is that one going to become more stable, or is it going to go away? It hasn't been going very far
anywhere
for a long time.
I think that I would not poke it one way or the other right now. And Mark, I'll ask you what you think about that too. But my feeling is that it's a good friendship to support you while you make some changes here. And that I wouldn't wait for it, but it may, as you start to come alive in your own life, it will become clearer and clearer to you. I think the other person is happy just where it is. And you want to move forward, go away. And but the other person probably won't go anywhere or leave if you, but may not step forward unless things change, just because that they're comfortable with how things are. So I wouldn't make changes in your life based on this relationship. I would make changes in your life based on what makes you happy, like changing your job, doing what you need to do to get your life as on track as you can right now. And let this person be a wonderful friendship and support while you're doing that. And at the end of the, when you start to really feel the energy pick up in your life, either this person will come with you and the two of you will naturally move into a better relationship. Or you'll be fed up with the person and leave. I think that you would outgrow them, actually. But that right now, they are, you've have so much work that's been going on inside of yourself and in your grief and at work, and you've let go of so much that it's not, this relationship won't rescue you, but it will support you.
Yeah, it's there definitely as a support, and it helps you to feel an optimism and a connection, and you know that there's someone to share with, and that's really important. But you're on your way, as Heather says, through changes, and you have an opportunity, and you know this is someone that can help you as you move into that. But whether they're going to be there as a, you know, as a relationship as you begin to really make the changes, that's hard to know yet. It'll have to evolve as a relationship. it can't stay what it is now. And this person may not be in it for that.
So
security
I would say
wise,
no.
Do you think I'll be able to support myself moving forward? I mean, I've always been supporting myself,
oh,
but
yes.
It's been so hard these past few years.
I really think that you can. If you keep your expenses down, I think you really can. I think you've got, at the moment, your energy level is really low. And just to be really kind and keep everything as gentle on yourself as you can, that when your energy starts to come back, because you've lost a lot around you, when energy starts to come back, you are so talented and, you know, have great strength. I just think that it's almost like layers of post-traumatic stress. I think you're just doing some very deep healing. And when your energy comes back, it'll be easier to move forward. But that if you're just very kind to yourself right now, your confidence in your ability to support yourself will really return.
Yeah, and if you really keep your focus on the essentials, in many ways what you're learning is what is the very basic essential of life? One, to live, and what can you let go of and still be alive? But the other is, aside from living, for yourself to really be happy. You're actually going to learn through this period, this period of loss and, you know, seeing things being shed. You're learning what is it at the very core of me that makes life worth living. And that seems like a scary question on your way into it, but once you get to the center of that question, it's like a light comes on and you realize that your happiness is never gone. It's
mm-hmm.
actually always there, but you have to go through this period to know that.
I've been shedding a lot
yes,
already.
Yeah.
So there's
mm-hmm.
still more.
You
said you're saying
we understand that you've been going through that, and that
yep.
you know you're really coming down to your core self. But you, I just want to give you to let you know that you have a very strong chart. You have
mm-hmm.
very strong capacities. You know, and if that, you know, all of that, you know, you may choose to move again to be for work. You may find yourself that I just want you to prioritize your own joy, your own health, and what's really interesting to you over other people's needs for this next year, and that you've really been there for so many people. And it's an important time for you to really be listening to yourself during this call. It's not a matter of being selfish. It's a matter of just hearing your own inner messages of what would work for you and what do you need. And then I think your life really comes back alive. I think in a year and a half, your energy starts to really return and your belief in your work system, that you're moving into a new stability and resource. And relationship. So I have very, you know, very great hopes for your future on the other side of this transformation. I think it's going to be better than ever.
Do you think I'll have a chance to one day work in the field of my calling and not so
yes.
so
inclined
to just work
for?
Oh, I want to counsel people. I want to inspire and motivate other people who go through hard times. Somehow be like a motivational speaker or something like that, or a trainer. I want to help other people who've been through a hard time.
Absolutely. I think that right now
going through this tough process might help me actually eventually.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think that right now, and that's what I'm talking about, more training, that there may be something about the training and the counseling that would be wonderful. This is a perfect time, first of all, for you to help yourself through hard times, including doing any form of therapy that you think would be helpful for you right now. Take notes on what works. Take notes on what doesn't. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're being trained to help others with.
That's a possible career for me?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would send you right there to therapy school.
Oh, thank you.
Okay?
I would love to do that one day.
Then start now.
Start now.
Get into whatever schooling you need to do that. This is a wonderful time to do that. When everything else is not quite working right, you know, I bet you can find some funding to do this.
Yeah, have you looked into that?
You have a very strong South Venus in 8th house, which is, means that you're good with other people's monies, which means not only can you help them with their money, but people tend to be generous to support what you need, and it's a good aspect for being able to get grants, scholarships.
Well, I can easily get loans, and I think that's why I'm in trouble now.
Right. Mm. So look for grants and scholarships. Okay?
So I have to learn. Yes, that's something to look forward to. I really want to get into a field where I can make a direct impact on someone's life, you know, with every moment that I spend with them.
I'm doing well with that. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to call it now. We have one more caller for quickly. And then we have to get off. But good luck, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay,
thank you so
thanks
much.
For
feel
calling.
Feel free to
in.
Call back.
Thank you.
Hello. Are you on the line? 309? Okay, you're on the line.
Yeah.
And hello, I'm calling 624. Yes? Are you on the
can
line?
Can you hear me?
Can
you hear me? Hi. I have actually a quick question.
Okay.
Well, I received an email about an article that was written today called Astrologers Predict Holiday Hell. And the whole article is about
that's great.
How
okay.
astrologers uh-huh. are saying that for the first time in years, the tumultuous, I'm quoting the article, the tumultuous astrological cycle known as Mercury retrograde falls during the holidays, and it's going to cause tears, and confusion, throwdowns, and they literally call it. It starts with. Let me just give. I won't read the whole thing.
Okay,
the quote.
Stop. You know, Mercury retrograde over the holidays means, you know, travel as little as possible, or know that your traveling will be an experience during that time. But
well, it
actually,
seems to
it's a
it's
wonderful
worse.
Time to go back.
Mm-hmm.
May I say
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
It is a wonderful time to go back to people that are familiar to you, to go back to family and get. And if anybody starts really misbehaving, you ask them to talk about their past and their history and their family.
Yeah.
So that's a rather sensationalistic approach
mm-hmm.
to the holidays, personally. Now, there are some other astrological factors that will be tricky between now and then. I noticed that, you know, as the Sun is at 3 degrees on December 25th and Pluto is at 5 degrees, the last couple of years, because the Sun is coming back to hit Pluto around Christmas, there is a sense of being aware of what is missing, what is lost, what could have been, what wasn't there this year, who's missing from the table, and that will be kind of haunting around the holidays. And then that moves on. Then Uranus conjuncts, will have conjunct Mars right beforehand. There's, people are still feeling a little feisty and a little temperamental, but I don't see it as ghastly as they describe.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
I just wanted to get your guys' opinion
sure.
on that, because it does mention not just the retrograde, but Uranus, like you said, and literally there's an astrologer quoted saying it's going to be like a nightmare.
Really?
Which I just think
oh.
is really horrible that
yeah.
this kind of stuff is being put out there, and people think that astrology predicts, you know,
yes.
fear and catastrophe. So,
well,
no.
it will be full
yeah.
of unexpected events. Because Mercury is you know, it's interesting that the same aspect that we're having right now for Christmas, for Thanksgiving, which is Mercury squaring Uranus and Jupiter, comes back on the holidays as Mercury retrogrades back and will square Uranus and Jupiter. But it does that on the 22nd, 21st, and then
by it has retrograded considerably farther past that and won't be an exact on the square. So, you know, it's not
and
a
that's
holiday
that's
to
the
travel.
Retrograde. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's the retrograde part of the square. So
right, and then it'll come forward and hit one more
time. Yeah, it's looking for the lessons, and then it's going to resolve it as it comes
mm-hmm.
out after the holidays. But I think if you take the holidays as, you know, being this year a little bit less straightforward, a little more introspective and internal and sort of historical, like looking at the roots of things, what I would do is, you know, advise people to set up the holidays with a retrospective mood. Like, you know, celebrate the history of the family if you're getting the family together. Do a lot of historical things. Do a little research into where did we come from, you know, who's been with us, who's gone, and what did they bring us while they were here. And, you know, let it be a celebration that looks to the past because we're very ready to do that. Another thing to keep in mind is we're all experiencing that. And if there's going to be holiday hell, it'll just be for the people trying to ship things.
It'll also be a good sense of humor for people. You know, with Mercury and Sagittarius square Jupiter, people will be able to laugh about it. There'll be some very unexpected, funny, funky things.
Hmm.
If we can keep our sense of humor about the process, no Mercury's retrograde, and do basic Mercury retrograde survival skills, you know, check what you think you hear before you get mad about what you thought you heard.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself extra time for travel. Don't travel in a hurry. Take a good book with you and have fun wherever you're doing. Try to avoid last-minute travel.
Mm-hmm. And avoid last-minute presents.
With a joy.
Too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And if you get the wrong thing in the mail from the catalog, figure it was probably the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't order right.
Mm-hmm. So it's only if we're attached, if we get hung up on how we think it should be, that it becomes a real problem.
Let things you know take wrong turns, and just see, oh well, I didn't think I was going to be on this block, but let's have a look at it.
So we have to sign off now. It's 60 seconds before we leave. And I want to thank you for bringing that up. And I hope to hear from people how their Thanksgiving goes. And maybe we can get a view of what their next Monday. We want reports back from people on how was their Thanksgiving, because that will give us a preview of Christmas to come.
That's right.
Okay, and we're signing off now. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, and I'm joined by
Mark Waltz in New York, and we're missing Ann Ortley tonight. She is traveling to, I believe it's South Carolina, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I hope all goes well, and have a great Thanksgiving. We are grateful that you listen to us. Take care.
Yep. Okay, thanks.
Good night.